Okay, we live?
Ah, there we are.
There we go.
Apologies for the slight couple of minutes delay there, guys. I managed to spill a giant glass of milk on my desk. Yes.
Let's hope that's the only failure we have today. It was only a minute late as well. Good God, people are impatient.
It's 3 minutes actually, but it was a lot of milk.
it? Yeah, no, you have to clear that shit up, otherwise it smells and
Yeah, I'll end up with cats everywhere and everything like that.
Yep.
But yeah, so we've made it to episode 10, guys. Wow, we've
That's
actually done it.
like a milestone or something, almost. But yeah, no,
Dear.
but we would have made it. Yeah, that's quite major,
Pretty
actually.
good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, people actually still watch us.
Excuse any drinking sounds. I seem to be doing an impression of the weekly sip since dev shows have never come back. Oh dear. But yes, look, I can see you guys in the chat. There's quite a few of you here already, so welcome, folks. For those of you who don't know, I'll just shill it again. The fact that we do actually have a Streamlabs link and we do take donations. So if you want to look at the description, it's right at the top there. And I'll put it in the chat again just to make sure we are getting them shekels. I actually missed a couple of you guys' donations last week. Sorry about that. There was a slight issue with the back end of Streamlabs, but I did put out a post last week answering any of those questions if you donated last week and didn't see your thing get read. So yeah, they all get noticed eventually. Apologies for any boomerisms last week, but yeah, we've I've got to get them shekels to get some stable internet. Them tubes ain't cheap. We're gonna extend our series of tubes.
Yes. Right.
But
So
what are
we're. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, so what are we talking about? I'm trying to segue here.
We're
We're
trying
segueing into each other. It's a segue crash.
to. Yes. We are talking about disasters where the world ended and the sky came down and everything was going to collapse. Cats and dogs living together. The world is over. The dead will rise, and then nothing really happened.
No, nothing's. There's a lot of these. The people have kept reminding them of us as well as we've been doing research for this, and we announced the stream, so we picked up a couple of other small ones.
Yeah.
But the
The
main ones we'll be covering are global cooling, global warming, net neutrality, and SARS slash swine flu, and all those conflagrations as well.
That's a there's a bit of year 2K bug in there as well, and one that was sent to me just a few minutes ago, which was
That one's really funny.
Guam getting overpopulated and accidentally tipping over and drowning everyone. Yes.
That's hilarious. That's like a cartoon. That's pure cartoon logic.
I never even that never even hit my radar. The fact that that is actually a real thing is just amazing. And it was an actual senator or something that said it.
Were they from California?
I hold on a second. It was, you know what, I'm gonna bring this up and just put this on the screen so people can see this because this
We'll
is.
cover this one first
We'll
because
just
this
go
one's
for this one first
hilarious.
because this is so good. This is so good. Let me
Ah,
just get
dear.
the link up. And why is that not working? Because I'm using the wrong browser. That's why that's not working. Let's do it. There we go. I'll transition across that. This is a disaster that I wish would actually happen.
Not a fan of Guam.
I just love the idea. I don't know anything about Guam. Guam, I'm sure, is perfectly nice. But US.
Trig confirmed for anti-Guam extremist. Good
Yep.
lord.
Yep. US Representative Hank Johnson, Democrat, was recently worried in 2017 that Guam was getting so overpopulated that it might capsize and drown everybody. Which is, yeah, this is real Bugs Bunny level tier wildness. I can't believe
Why?
I don't know. I don't think he knows how islands work. I think he thinks islands just
Was that, so you say he's from Georgia? Is that? Oh,
from Lithonia, where, yeah, I don't know where Lithonia. Lithonia? Lithonia. Probably some small part of the US, but yeah, my fear is the whole island will become so overpopulated that it will tip over and capsize, Johnson said, straight faced and seemingly serious.
Oh no. So he wasn't making an analogy, he wasn't being hyperbolic, he wasn't, you know, it wasn't some folksy down-homeness on his part. He would literally thought that if enough people stood in the wrong place, the whole thing would fall over.
He said, "My son is stationed in Guam." Yeah, apparently he actually thought
Just don't, all right.
this is who people are actually voting for. So yeah.
The mug root in chat says just outside Atlanta. So yeah,
Atlanta,
Georgia.
Georgia. Okay. Georgia, please try harder with your representatives, because
Dear
whoa.
me. It is Atlanta though, and he was a Democrat. Jo I don't know, the Southern Democrats aren't the sharpest tools in the shed.
Certainly this one isn't. Anyway, yeah. So I'm gonna try and compose myself after. I mean, that's an actual government representative right there. That's
That is a man, yes. That is a man who has influence. That is an elected official. That person went through a primary process. He was selected by his party.
dear God.
My
So,
God. Yeah, let's get into the topics proper, shall we?
okay,
Let's
okay.
not make this the Guam flipping over stream.
I don't know. Yeah, we won't be able to do much more on that. 10 minutes is as much as we can give to Guam being tipped over, and emptied. Was wow. Okay, shall we cover global warming first, or should we call it climate change, or should we call it global cooling? Because it's really been all sorts of things in the last 30, 40 years.
It seems one follows the other. I think we should cover the global cooling first because a lot of the same people seem to have been involved in it.
Yes.
And like everything online and everything that's become politicized, there seem to be some conflicted opinions and facts about it. Because there's a it, well, I usually say if Snopes says it's not true, it usually is. Because, you know, I'm a fact checker, but this is one of those curious oddities of history. Something that definitely, I'm going to spoil it, definitely happened, by the way. There definitely was this slight panic, controversy, media stir, followed by a high-profile scientist coming out and talking about it, but it seems to have been fact-checked out of existence.
Yeah.
So, we're
No.
going to start with this. I know you've got some older articles here, because I'm leaning.
I've got a Wikipedia article up straight away, which was this was this conjecture during the 1970s that that the world was going to go through an extensive glaciation and cooling effect, because they'd had a few rough winters. And this is going back to, I can vaguely remember a little bit of the 70s, but I was very little then. But we did have some really, really good
Yeah.
winters back then. And there was
It was
snow, but
baby trigging bell bottoms is what it was. Walking
hey.
along to some disco beats.
Hey, I've hit no nobody has seen those pictures. How do you know about those pictures?
I'm sure there was a film in the 70s called Disco Baby at some point. There must have been. They must have made a Disco Baby movie.
God, probably. But yeah, no, they thought that we were going to go through an extensive glaciation period. And I mean, the fact is, if you look at if you only want to be pedantic, is we are actually in an ice age at the present moment. There have been periods where the world has no polar caps that are iced over, and those are actually in the bigger picture of the world and its total history, those are the norm. And when we have ice on the polar caps, that's known as an ice age. When everybody sort of starts going on about global warming, etc., yeah, we are heading towards the normal. It's just the normal is bleeding warm on the Earth, in comparison to the current state. But yes, in the 70s, they thought we were cooling. It was going to be cooling and forgive this particular site, which just literally front page website, which is horrendous.
Yeah, they tend to it's skeptical science. They're very hit and miss, honestly.
Yeah.
They're very climate change. They're an anti-climate change site, and they have a lot of cranks. But their stuff about global cooling is actually okay. It's one of the better sources, unfortunately, online for this topic, because a lot of the other stuff has been scrubbed and fact-checked out of existence.
You know who is actually a good source for this? I'm actually kicking myself because I haven't pulled anything up from Mr. Corbyn. This is, of course, Piers Corbyn, the actually slightly more intelligent brother of Jeremy Corbyn, who is a bit of a he's a climate change denier apparently, which is a weird slur to put on someone who is actually a meteorologist and understands climatology quite well and doesn't deny that climates change. He just doesn't like the idea that CO2 is causing the Earth to accelerate and get hotter and hotter and hotter and, the normal global warming nonsense. And I'm actually kicking myself I haven't found something from Piers Corbyn, because he's an interesting chap on occasion when he's not being a crazy communist, which is most of the
There's
time.
some good stuff here. Chat, just remember to check the Time magazine covers,
Ooh,
which is
that's a good point.
actually a good shout, because they had two actually. They had two, one in 1973 and one in 1979, both of which cover global cooling. I think one of them I've got here is an alternate cover because they're talking about. I think it's like the second Nixon inauguration, and then there was Watergate, and 79 it was Carter administration. There's also something here about the Ayatollah. But yeah, 1973 and 1979 they had articles on the global cooling phenomenon. So it wasn't this short-lived thing that people keep talking about.
You're right.
Because one of the long-form articles I found here was from Scientific American. And they cover it in a very contradictory way. What they do is they say it didn't happen and then talk about how it happened. It's one of those classic mainstream media articles where the title and the tagline don't match the content of the article, so they can cover their asses and say, "Well, we did actually say this," but most people never read past the title and the tagline. Most people just see preview cards on social media,
Yep, that's it.
unfortunately.
It's oh, can we encapsulate the entire story into 7 words? Maybe 8, maybe 10, and that's it. Nobody reads more than that because they're already bored. Sadly.
Well, the conceit of the article is, it says how the global cooling story came to be. 9 paragraphs written for Newsweek in 1975 continue to trump 40 years of climate science. It's a record that has the author amazed. They talk about global cooling. It was a Newsweek story by Peter Gwyn. That's a Welsh name.
Sounds kind of
And
Welsh. Yep.
they go on to talk about Rush Limbaugh and talk about how the conservatives are denying climate change again. But then they go on to say that, I think here it is. It's a few paragraphs in. It says, where the story observed accurately, there has been a gradual decrease in global average temperature from about 1940, now believed to be the consequence of certain aerosols that offered a particle shield to the Earth, which is now where they're saying that global temperatures are increasing, even though, we are the virus from climate change improving because COVID stuff. Turns out it's not. He says that Newsweek being Newsweek, you might have pushed the envelope a little bit more than I would have wanted. He's basically saying that Newsweek editorialized the story and it became a panic, which it did. And it became a longer-term panic than what I want to say, because this was being dismissed earlier than 1975. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
There's a Time magazine cover there. But But the story was tantalizing enough that other variations were written by the New York Times and National Geographic, among others. So straight away, that contradicts the tagline. He said it was just 9 paragraphs in Newsweek that people based this on. Yet also, it was covered in the New York Times, National Geographic, among others. So it was a large media story in the 70s.
Yeah.
So that's true.
It was even being. I would have been very young then, but I do remember it in the 80s being oh, the world is cooling, the ice caps will be increasing, and then the shift happened early mid 80s, where people were going, actually, the ice caps don't seem to be growing, etc. But this definitely was not a brief, oh, it happened briefly in 1975 and nothing else, as those Time magazine covers, indicate quite clearly. It was a thing for at least 6 or 7 years during the 70s and beyond. But anyway, I'm jumping in and
Yeah,
interjecting.
Margaret's saying chat again. They remember it well. Yeah, thanks for those Time magazine covers there, Margaret. That's very helpful. The issue is that yeah, this is something that was discussed for a number of years. It's not just a brief blip on the radar that they're trying to. Again, they're trying to rewrite history, which very much annoys me. They could just admit this and say, "Well, we were wrong then, but we're right now." They're not. They're trying to say it never happened, which is like. It's gaslighting. It's trying to convince people they're insane when you know that you're wrong.
And simple fact was, back then, we had some cracking winters. I mean, I remember an anecdote from the 70s and 80s, a little tiny mini trig wandering around with sledge in hand and dog pulling sledge and going sledging in feet and feet of snow in England, where these days currently, you get a couple of inches and everybody freaks out and cars start crashing and trains start stopping and everybody says the end of the world's nigh. We had proper snow back then. And it was on the regular, it was year after year. And, then we had a couple of warm summers and suddenly, oh my God, the world's heating up and we're all going to boil. Boil, I tell you.
It
So.
seems to be theory of convenience. They go on to say, rather funnily, after all of this, that yeah, the theory picked up support from some pretty reputable scientists. The late esteemed Stephen Schneider of Stanford endorsed a book on the issue. So,
That be this Stephen Schneider?
oh yeah, we'll have to segue it into the global warming stuff in a
Yeah.
bit.
Cause
But yeah.
he crops up, doesn't he? He keeps on being in the thick of these I say keeps on, he's not gonna be doing it anymore. Cause he we shouldn't
I
laugh.
think it
He
did.
passed away quite tragically in 2010
I said that.
after winding the world up repeatedly for like 30 years, he keeled over and died and he won't be doing it no more.
The thing is, there's a wider discussion here to be had, because he's a classic media scientist. He's a lot of what we're seeing now. He's one of those scientists who crops up in interviews. He talks a lot to journalists. He talks in sound bites a lot of the time and tells other people to talk in sound bites a lot of the time. He's an activist scientist. I don't know, Trish, do you want to read the quote?
I'm going to go
Because
for
we
the
can
quote,
talk. Yeah, go for the quote.
because this is it. As you say, he's a media scientist. He's the worst kind of scientist because the amount of times people that in the science community start speaking up and they talk as if they are an authority, and this. This guy, literally, he says, on the one hand, as scientists, we are ethically bound to the scientific method, in effect promising to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. Which means we must include all doubts, the caveats, the ifs, and the buts. On the other hand, we're not just scientists, but human beings as well. And like most people, we'd like to see the world a better place. Which, in this context, translates to our work being to reduce the risk of potentially disastrous climate change. To do that, we need to get some broad-based support to capture the public's imagination. That, of course, entails getting loads of media coverage. So we have to offer up scary scenarios, make simplified, dramatic statements, and make little mention of any doubts we might have. This double ethical bind we frequently find ourselves in cannot be solved by any formula. Each of us has to decide what is the right balance between being effective and being honest. I hope that means being both, but then went on time and time again to be extremely hyperbolic, deny any of the ifs, buts, and caveats that he mentions that he should be mentioning, and generally winding everybody up into a giant frenzied panic.
There really is no defense for that statement, though, because what he's saying is it's not a double-blind ethical dilemma. It's not an ethical dilemma at all.
No.
What he's saying is, well, we're scientists and we should tell the truth, but on the other hand, we should also run around yelling the sky is falling.
Yes.
There's no on the other hand there. There is no if or but argument. You could say that you need to make your argument in a way that people will understand and is concise, but beyond that, you shouldn't have to resort to being alarmist and sensationary. Like, that is what you don't do. It's not, that's the unethical thing.
Yeah,
It's it's
this is what leads people to go, no, the science is in. It's irrefutable. This is the case, and this is the truth, and this is the dogma that we will now live to. And if you say something else, you're a horrible bigot and a Nazi and must be put to death. And dear God, we have enough of that crap enough at the moment. And these are
it's
the
the same justification,
yeah,
yeah.
same people. And no, scientists must not do this. Must not do this. They must keep the doubt in. They must express where there is doubt because, oh God, we have too much of this crap.
We do. And that was really the global cooling story, because there was a lot of cold winters. It did capture the imagination. I think we've laid enough of the groundwork, and there's people who actually, lived through the 70s and saw it, who can tell you this, to convince you this event actually happened. Because there's still a lot of people who deny that the whole global cooling scare, ever existed, which is, again, another example of our amnesiac political environment where anything that counteracts the narrative gets memory holed. But anyway, but it captured the imagination of people, because there were all these cold winters and it was a tangible idea that people could latch onto. And it scared the shit out of the public for a while.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of journalists money, and it gave a lot of scientists, quote unquote, media coverage. They become minor celebrities, and it means they are more likely to get grant money. That's how the game works. That's how the game's worked for decades now.
Yeah, because let's face it, if you terrify everybody and tell them that the world is coming to an end and you just happen to be doing a research project in that particular subject, all of a sudden your grant money you get a lot more grant money in the future from that. Because the politicians
You
want to
do.
see that, oh look, we're putting loads of money into research into global warming because we know it's going to be the end of the world in 20 years or 5 years or 10 years or whatever. What's the latest one? It's usually 10 years or so, isn't it? And you end up then with, 17-year-old uneducated Swedish chicks lecturing you on social media. Which nobody wants to see that again. Ever. Ever again.
Ah, that's I Cam J said. I don't know if this is true or not, but they say one of the best songs by Jethro Tull back in the 70s was about global the cooling scare, called "Skating Away." I can't read your name in the chat. Sorry, I'll just call you Jay. Says global cooling was spread by science journalists and not proper scientists. Well, the two are one and the same now. Who decides who isn't a proper scientist? Essentially, the media and the government does. It's a PR. Proper scientist is a PR distinction. It's kind of a meaningless statement to say, well, they weren't proper scientists. It's like, well, they're not. A lot of the people who are peddling myths now aren't proper scientists.
Well, yeah, like what's his name? Bill Nye, the science guy, who isn't actually a scientist, he's an engineer. Not that I'm knocking engineers, but literally not a PhD scientist. He is an engineer and
He's not been a
constant.
practicing engineer.
I
He's not been a
know.
very good engineer. He's a TV. He's been a TV presenter for decades.
Yes.
He wouldn't be able to work in an engineering environment in the modern world.
No.
He's not a scientist, and he's no longer an engineer. He's a TV
Yeah.
personality, just like fucking Black Science Man.
I was about to say, yeah, black scientist, science man, and bow tie guy are our science priests these days, and neither of them are actually extremely impressive. I mean, Christ, I
No.
know in a more impressive scientist, and several more impressive scientists than those guys. Anyway.
Anyway. Shall we segue into global warming? Because that will probably be a longer segment. And this is just kind of the groundwork,
Yes.
because I think the Schneider stuff kind of neatly links those two together. Because he was actually talking about, this was in the late 80s, in 89, he was actually talking about global warming at that point, after previously endorsing books and papers on global cooling.
Yep. Hold on a second. I've got more global. That's calling. That's calling. Where's my?
Oh, we could go into global cooling more if you want. Is there anything
No.
else you want to
I
say?
was gonna say I just pulled up so many articles on it that I can't find the global warming articles now. I'll
Well,
find
I
them
did as a
later.
nice little splash screen for global warming
You
there,
know what
with
you
our old friend Man Bear Pig.
Oh.
Watch out! It's Man Bear Pig.
Yes. Oh God, do you remember Al Gore? Al Gore was that was some wild times. That was the first time we saw someone try to steal. Well, that wasn't the first time. It's the first time we noticed someone trying to steal an American election. Not that that ever happened, of course.
It's amazing that when the actual counting started, he conceded. But anyway,
Yeah, he
it's a
did, didn't he?
bit of a thunk there, eh? Oh dear me. Right. It's well, shall we start with an inconvenient? I think an inconvenient truth was many people's first point of contact with global warming hysteria.
It was. It was, and there is a Wikipedia article about it, which
Ugh.
I know.
Do we have to? Trig.
Yeah.
We'll start here, but we have lots of other things to talk
We
about that aren't Wikipedia.
do.
I don't want to be like Tim Pool. Like man reads news article and man reads Wikipedia is not the show we're trying to be here. But I'll stop giving you grief now, because I can't. I'm stalling for time because I can't find the link I was trying to talk about now, which is actually about an inconvenient truth, because
Right.
I have too many of them open.
Same. I've got a couple things. How Al Gore built the Global Warming Fraud. This is the Heartland Institute. I don't know very much about them, but I do get the distinct feeling that this is somewhat party politically biased. Though they do have a nice little Gadsden flag in their background. In essence,
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Sorry, there's an article here from the Conversation. Oh God, there it is. Okay, it just wasn't loading for me. And we'll talk about them after. So, what the Heartland Institute? Yeah, that does seem there is a Gadsden flag there. They do seem not the most balanced source, but let's give this a read and we'll do some commentary.
Hey, people that like the Gadsden flag are all decent,
Don't
honorable.
tread. Don't tread on memes. Yes.
Don't try. Although his science is often seriously wrong, no one can deny that Al Gore has a flair for the dramatic. Speaking about climate change in October the 12th PBS interview, the former vice president proclaimed, "We have a global emergency," referring to the most recent UN climate report. Gore claimed it showed a current global warming that could actually extend to an existential threat to human civilization on this planet as we know it.
Bum bum ba.
Good phrasing. Al Gore's overblown rhetoric makes no sense, of course. Yet his hyperbolic claims beg the question: how does this all start? Well, back in the 70s, and we're going to end up reading newspaper. Essentially, yes, this is just talking about we started to notice that there was changes in the climate of the world, and suddenly, basically every single year. It's just a little bit different than the year before. Sometimes it's warmer. Sometimes it's cooler. Sometimes it's a bit more rainy on a March than it was last March. Al Gore decided to literally lose his mind over this and created
Well,
the inconvenient truth. Which.
he was very tactical about it. He was a Al Gore is a very good propagandist. There's a
Yeah.
lot of very specific claims in An Inconvenient Truth that have been debunked. In fact, pretty much all. I'm not going to go through them one by one. There's a lot of stuff about specific ice shelves melting, the fact that there'd be no polar ice caps at all by 2014, the fact that, large parts of Manhattan would be underwater by like 2009, maybe, as soon as.
I
There was a
wish.
huge amount of claims made in An Inconvenient Truth that simply haven't come true.
Yeah.
There's just too many to list out and go through. I urge you all to seek it out yourself because we could be here all day talking about the problems
They gave him a
in that
Nobel
film
Peace
itself.
Prize for that piece of propaganda. That this is one of the well, wasn't the first, but it was one of the first sort of warning signs that maybe the Nobel Peace Prize isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, very PR based. It's very much the same as the Obama one. He
Yeah.
came out with a film, he profited with it. It was shown in a lot of schools to people, which I think has birthed this generation of climate activists. Let me know in chat, were you guys shown An Inconvenient Truth in school? Because we were.
Were you? Oh dear.
Yeah, we
Oh,
were. I didn't buy it at the time. I was like, this seems alarmist.
oh
This seems a little alarmist to me. These are some very bold claims. It seems to be quite a short time scale, but okay. Since we've been pumping this stuff into the atmosphere since, the 1800s. But it's, yeah. We're talking about global warming specifically because global warming has been rebranded. They PR'd it to hell and back because a lot of people were having issue with their sweeping statements. Now it's called climate change. And it's called climate change because that can be anything.
Yeah.
Literally any alteration.
Nice and nebulous. It's like, oh yes, it's climate change. It's of course, March this year is slightly wetter than it was last year. It's climate change for you. It's
Yeah, I'm
all
getting
climate
a.
change. You getting
It's
a
about 50. It's actually, no, it's more than 50-50. More than 50% of reply I'm seeing in the chat say yes, yes, no, yes, and it was seen as gospel. I don't think so, ew, I'm 26. I was shown it yes, no, yes in 2008.
Good God.
Too old. Yeah, I was shown it back in 2015, senior. Wow, because in 2015 it was already becoming an embarrassment to the climate change community. An Inconvenient Truth isn't shown anymore and isn't largely talked about anymore because it's seen as so, well, embarrassing because of the wild and wrong claims that it made, a lot of which exist now in the past. We would refer them to them as past events. And that's why I think that people don't watch it. Seriously, go watch it. If you've not, go watch An Inconvenient Truth because it's hilarious now.
Yeah.
It's literally been debunked. It's not, Snopes didn't check it. It's just the shit that it talks about hasn't happened.
Every single date and time scale that was given is totally wrong. Totally wrong. And what you at this point, just yeah, no, it's it, yeah, you say it's an embarrassment, an absolute embarrassment, and yeah, no, I'm really horrified to hear that they were playing that. I mean, I've heard of people playing crap to kids at school before. There was all those PETA videos that turned countless girls into vegetarians, which were just absolutely basically animal snuff movies, which bore no response resemblance to how things are done in a lot of the Western world. But to peddle this shit as well. Good God. Schools are supposed to have a duty of care to teach their children to think and decipher reality from nonsense, not to brainwash them into rubbish.
Well, pre-2006, like very few people were talking about this. It
Oh,
was
yeah.
not on people's radar. It was really the effort of Al Gore and a few other people that really turned it into an international consensus. And he won, like I said, he was motivated to do this because he won the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts in promoting action against climate change. It was one of the most successful documentaries of all time. There's an article here from The Conversation, which I think came out in conjunction with his sequel. And what is it? An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power. But that was largely, yes, there was a sequel, but it was largely shuffled under the kind of under the rug because again, the original was had become such an embarrassment by that point. And it was, yeah, it was met with a lot less fanfare, very obviously, because of that.
Yeah, no, and I think that most people these days know Al Gore from South Park. South Park's utter mockery of him with Man Bear Pig, and that's really all he deserves. The nonsense, yeah, it's fear mongering. And yes, I'm just noticing that people are saying that I have a very different definition of schools than what politicians seem to. Yes, sadly, that does seem to be the truth and the case that, yeah, education seems to be more about political brainwashing than what it should be. I could very easily ramble on about the fact that the education that a lot of people get these days is what the Romans used to educate, the method the Romans used to educate slaves with. They would teach the slaves and the working class one type of thing, and then they would teach the upper class or the patricians how to think properly. And yeah, unfortunately, we get the slave education system
Well,
these
the
days.
point this article makes, and
But
quite
yes,
rightly,
bring it
but you are right
back.
about schools, though, no,
Yeah, nightmare. Yeah.
no, I'm sorry, it's a good rant. I don't really have anything to add to that, though, but yeah, you're right. No, it was, the thing is, it wasn't just shown in schools, it was standard in schools for a long time.
I
And like he
didn't
was
know
saying
that.
there, it was shown in a lot of, especially like inner city schools. You know, a lot more of the very, very left of left schools. It was shown right up until 2015, 2016. When it really, you know, a lot of the predictions, and it really just, you know, they expired and they couldn't show it anymore. They'd still be showing it if honestly, I think they'd still be showing it if that didn't happen, because it's been such an effective piece of propaganda.
That's
But
it. I mean,
the point, yeah.
Greta basically just added 10 to 15 years on a lot of the dates and started rambling the same
Yeah.
stuff.
It's a rehash. It's the exact same predictions with a longer fuse. When
Yeah.
that fuse runs out, we'll get the same predictions again, but with a longer fuse. It's continuous. It's, you know, the sky's falling. We have 5 years to solve it, and in 10 years we'll all be dead. And that's what Al Gore was saying. You know, 2011 things will get bad, and by 2014, you know, we'll all start dying. That was his message. And it really has just been recycled. But people forget that Al Gore was a failed political candidate. He was the Democrat candidate for president. You know, he failed against Bush in the famous 2000 election. A lot of people internationally really just know him as the global warming guy. They forget about that. But
Yeah.
this was really a partisan message as well. This was a real signal to the left about how they should talk about climate change, and how they should really engage with the public in a propagandist manner about this. You know, this was the new cause célèbre of the left. And Al Gore being the messenger here, Al Gore being the face of climate change, they say in the article here that he was in like up to 20% of all coverage. There are explicit references to the movie in 28% of stories in 2006. In traditional media, the US Vice President was featured in 13% and to 17% of all news and stories surrounding climate change. So he really did become Mr. Climate Change.
Yeah, and remember, a
And I
lot of
think.
this stuff is the basis of the work that they use for your Green New Deal and your Paris Climate Accords, etc. That everyone is being pushed, having pushed down their throats. This is the same nonsense, rehashed, recooked in different ways, that is trying to cripple industry in the Western world.
Well, Al Gore's not a physicist. He's not a meteorologist.
No.
He's not someone who studies the natural process of the Earth. He's a failed presidential candidate and a Democrat. He's a partisan left political figure,
Hey.
and that's who has delivered this. And that is the message that was delivered, really. It was a partisan left political message. And to many people on the left, that gave it more credence, and to many people on the right, that really made it suspicious. And again, it really has, unfortunately, turned what should be a very dry scientific discussion into an entirely political subject, where really I don't think the facts matter in any of this international climate policy anymore. It is just a belief. You end up with cultists like Extinction Rebellion,
Yep.
who are, you know, a death cult. They are exceptionally weird. And I think that's, well, Extinction Rebellion, I think, is has been the modern equivalent of that, and it's turned so many people off this debate. They really had to stop talking about it as much recently. It's Extinction Rebellion and Greta Thunberg have really turned the common man against climate change again. Just like Al Gore, you know, was pushed at first, but then slowly turned the normal kind of Midwestern American against all this climate change rhetoric.
Yep. Let's face it, Al Gore, a Democrat politician. He's another one that is, you know, Guam is going to tip over into the sea. That is as well qualified as that guy. And they kind of should be treated as such. I'm glad we started with that.
His There Will Be No Polar Ice Caps by 2014 is the equivalent of Guam will fall over into the sea because there's too many people of it. That has gained mainstream acceptance. If they decided to push the message that Guam would tip over into the sea, we'd still be seeing it. We'd have people airlifted from Guam. We'd have international efforts. We'd have conferences about it. We'd have a little fucking creepy goblin like Greta Thunberg talking about the Guam issue. It's the same level of bullshit, just with more media behind it. And it demonstrated that it didn't happen. We still have ice caps, and yes, it's 2021.
Yep. Plenty of ice caps. We are in an ice age still, which isn't... Anyway. Yes.
The problem with a lot of these disaster stories, and I think that the whole issue with climate change is the biggest example of it, is that scientists feel like their hands are tied in speaking out against lies because it will ruin their careers.
Ha! Joke's on them. I have no career to ruin. I have no fear. I will speak the truth.
Since the internet cranks at this point due to the lockdowns, but that's kind of beside the point.
Hey. Yeah, okay, but yes, that might not be too far from the truth.
It's a convergence, though. It's a convergence of popular science, quote-unquote, and a increasing social environment where truth isn't necessary and narrative is key. And speaking out is dangerous. It's really the amplification of both we've seen in recent years, and the continuous resurfacing of climate change as an issue that they've like is one of the, I think, the best examples of that. You can see all of it in that, and from its kind of meteoric rise in 2006 almost to the present day, we've seen all of these factors amplify and amplify to the point where we have, you know, celebrities are the face of the climate change movement rather than scientists.
Yeah. Trust your local Hollywood actor. It's not like they've been trained their entire lives to lie or anything. I mean, act, of course. Acting is different from lying.
Because... Wait, are you calling them all crisis actors?
Yeah, actually, I think I am.
Al Gore was the ultimate crisis actor.
He wasn't at Sandy Hook, was he? I didn't say that. Sorry.
trick, please. We'll cover when YouTube finally turns its attention on this channel, and I get a bunch of strikes at once, and it's very, very clear this channel won't exist much longer. We'll do our joint like 9/11 and Sandy Hook special.
The Alex Jones is right and always has been right. Yeah.
No. We'll do our Alex Jones as a pussy for backing off streams.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
God damn it.
Duh.
Alex Jones.
Too toxic really for Alex Jones. Too insane for InfoWars. That's how I want it described. That's how I want it remembered.
Done.
Oh dear. don't worry, guys. We'll eventually get as spicy as we like. That's the thing. Everyone's like, why don't you hold back on YouTube? Your YouTube's not gonna survive. And I'm like, but I am holding back. This isn't even my final form.
Not even close. Right.
I will say though, I've had a bunch of questions about it. We've got this stream we'll be doing, because we've got a lot more to cover still, so
yes.
I don't think we'll have time to re-go over some of the new stories we've missed. We'll probably have to do that next week, because the plan, really, for the next couple of shows, or at least what I've kind of, we've got a loose plan here, is to do, obviously, we've got Disaster That Never Happened Today, and we were supposed to do a news catch-up stream at some point, and I'm thinking of doing that next week. But after that, I would like to do another. I've had a lot of requests for another conspiracy theories that are true stream.
Yeah, same.
A load of people have requested that one, so I'm.
There is so much on that one. You could almost make an entire YouTube channel just covering conspiracy theories that are actually not conspiracies at all and are actually real. You could
Yes,
you could
yes.
cover that weekly, week in, week out, and just do deep dives, which, well, maybe not straight away, but yes, that's there's plenty to cover there. Plenty, so definitely. Can't wait, actually. I love that. That was one of my favorite that we've done so far.
It's like I said, we've got so much left over from that stream. We already have enough for another stream already.
Yeah.
I don't want to do them too close to each other. I want to kind of space out the topics here because I like to have more of a variety. Because this does link into current events, but it's a very good way of framing current events, I think, is to go into all of these controversies that people seem to have forgotten about, that the news cycle has left behind, and it really just helped reinforce that no, you were right in the past, and other people were right in the past about all these hysterical claims that never came true.
Like,
But
should we move on to SARS, actually? Because that's got some slight overlap with the current day scenario. Because let's face it, SARS, which I think it was a couple of hundred people died from, is almost exactly the same virus that we now know as COVID-19.
it is, yes. Well, while you're getting that up, I've got a couple of donations here actually that I need to
Yeah,
read out.
okay,
So
I'll do
while
this.
transferring into SARS, I'll read these out. Donation here from HK9410. Thank you. You pretty much I think you've donated every stream. Thank you for that. $5 there. Saying the only correct way to present scientific information is complete and autistically specific detail. I'd agree with that. I think leave the science to the scientists. I think the popularizing of "I fucking love science" is one of the worst things that's ever happened. It's terrible. I fucking love propaganda. Here's a CGI image of space. Here's a Neil deGrasse Tyson quote.
Black
Here's
Science Man.
Bill Nye with some fucking feminist lesbians talking about their sex junk, which is a real thing that
Oh,
happened.
I've forgotten about that song. God, no, now I remember it.
Oh yeah, you're welcome, guys. If you missed that, go Google Bill Nye sex junk.
Don't do it. Don't, I like you guys. Don't watch that.
we got a
Do
second
it. Do
donation here from
it.
Coventry 301, saying, what's this? Arma buys you back. I can't believe I missed your previous stream. That was YouTube fuckery. And much love and happiness, Philip, from a hillbilly farmer from Devon. Yeah, love and happiness that you're back. Have a couple of Twixes on me. Keep up the good work. I missed you, boys. Oh, thank you, thank you. And I
Thank you.
like that people have kept up with the Twix joke. Yeah, this is we gauge our for those of who don't understand that we gauge our donations in how many Twixes it will buy us. And one of the jokes was that we only got so many donations one stream that we'd have to split the Twix between us. We'd only get one finger each. So that's where the Twix reference comes from.
Could do with a few Twixes actually at the moment. I have no chocolate in the house. This is bad.
It's a good trigger. I have no chocolate in the house either, but that's because I eat it all.
Yeah, no, I have been trying to lose weight. Last
As have
year,
I.
boy, did I get chunky midway through last year, and then people started pointing it out and laughing. So
And falling around with a tuba, yes, we remember. Yeah, we all remember that. No, it's I too had put on a little weight during, they call it the was it the lockdown belly, basically. But I've been doing okay. I said I ate it all. I don't tend to keep chocolate in my house. I've actually been on a diet recently, so I too have been trying to lose weight. So get healthy, guys. Go outside, lift some weights.
Yeah.
It's it's good.
Get a bike. I quite enjoy the bike. I've been anyway.
And unless you're in London, then don't get a bike. There's too many twats on bikes there.
Yeah.
But yes, we can segue into SARS here.
I found this, which is nice, because it's from the History Channel, as if a coronavirus, a severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus is actually ancient history. Because yes, SARS was a coronavirus. In fact, you might notice that people often refer to corona or COVID-19 as SARS-2, because it's exactly the same variant of coronavirus that's just gone through a few mutations, because that's what viruses do over a few years.
Well, that's why people think it was a lab-created virus,
Well,
because a
it
lot of
was
the
a lab-created
characteristics.
virus. I'm sticking to that. And the BBC and Sky News have both come out recently and said they think it might have come from a lab in Wuhan.
Oh,
Like
you mean the virology? You mean the one that everyone was memeing about back in February,
last year.
2020?
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Uh-huh.
Exactly a year ago. Yeah, it's kind of funny how that came back around. It turns out we were right and Trump was right as well.
Yeah.
But it's now that's what they do. They admit it in the future when there's not as much consequence. That's how it always works. Deny, deflect, kind of debunk, and then, oh yeah, by the way, you were right all along. Lol, it doesn't matter anymore. It's infuriating, but do you want to go over this article then, Trig?
I
Because
can go over this article. Yes, again, it's not exactly ancient history, but it is 17 years ago now that the first corona virus pandemic, SARS, happened in 2003. About 8,000 people got this worldwide, yet they were calling it a pandemic at that point. It infected more than 20 countries with their 8,000 infections in total, and leading to a whole. And I'm not belittling that 774 people died. That's 774 people who's that's that have caused loss in a family, and that's sad. That is very, very sad. But it is still an absolutely minuscule. That's 2 days worth of deaths on the road in China. Yeah, China have like they lose like sort of 400 people a day on the roads in China. So you
That
want
seems a bit, I'm going to say, I think it's increased since you last checked that trig.
quite possibly, but in proportion. It's a very, very, very minuscule thing. But they had the whole world going on about, oh, it's going to be a pandemic, it's going to kill everybody. Back in 2003, they were making a right old stink about
Well, back
SARS.
in it was 2011. Well, I'm not going to read it again because we went over it on a previous stream. But if you want to go check it out, there's a Forbes article we went over which talked about swine flu and how the World Health Organization tried to do with swine flu what they did with COVID-19, which is they tried to use it to push a and like I don't know if Forbes was just more based back in 2010, but the writer actually says, and I quote, a left-wing political agenda. Where would you hear that these days on fucking Forbes? You wouldn't.
Oh.
But yeah, that the we I think we went over. I can't remember which stream it was, but we did actually go over the similarities between the swine flu pandemic and COVID-19. So that's another one of the kind of disasters that never materialized. Even though apparently the Obama administration handled it incredibly incompetently, and thousands of Americans died who shouldn't have done, according to their own, their own departments and research and reports. But that's beside the point. Sorry, keep going with the SARS 1.0 though.
Well, SARS 1.0, A, it was massively overblown and everybody freaked out about it, even though it was
Yeah.
actually fairly minor. But there was a
For a
couple of.
global pandemic, those are rookie numbers. You're gonna have to
Those
bump
are
those numbers up, yeah.
very rookie numbers. But what is really interesting is, A, they rolled this out as a pandemic. They knew what they were looking for. They were very, very quick to scream pandemic and have everybody talking about it. And it was very, very easily contained. They then broke out a vaccine for SARS that they very, very rapidly rolled back, because the vaccine, SARS basically, as you can see there, 774, let's call it 800, let's call it 8,000 people got it, 800 people died. It was killing 1 in 10 people that contracted SARS. That's actually pretty nasty.
Yeah, but
The
they also did studies later which found out it might actually only be about 90, it might only be about 2% deadly, because
Yes.
the number was actually revised up quite heavily. There's actually a
Yes.
South Park joke about it where they released SARS in South Park, and Stan's Stan's dad. I think it's yeah. Stan's dad is like, "Oh, I've got SARS. I've only got a 98% chance of survival."
Exactly
And
that. Yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing.
Because
Couldn't stop laughing.
again, and I've said this before, it seems to hit the Chinese really hard. They seem to get it and really, 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 really suffer from it. When it gets
It's
over to the
because.
West, people go, "Huh, I feel like I've got a bit of a cold. I better have some chicken soup and stay in bed for a few days."
Well, the reason is because in China, when you get a flu, they give you fucking ginseng root and homeopathic fucking tiger claw. You know, they give you some water that a tiger claw was in once, and they send you home with that instead of, you know, medicine. That's why the figures tend to be so bad in China, because it's a superstitious semi-third world shithole.
It also tells me that if you want to knock out China, cook up a biological weapon. These people are weak to it. The other thing is that I don't think it even mentions it in here, but I remember this, and by all means do the research yourself on this one. But they brought out a vaccine, and the vaccine was more dangerous than the damn virus was.
There was deaths, if I
Oh yeah.
remember correctly.
Yes, quite a few deaths, and they rolled it back, and they took it back and went, "Oh no, we can't do that." Bear in mind, this is a vaccine for a coronavirus. Now, I'm not going to bring in personal experiences of the vaccine for the current COVID-19, but there are people having some very nasty reactions to the current vaccine. I've heard stories from reputable sources that up to 1 in 10 people are currently getting some fairly nasty reactions, not in any way, shape, or form fatal, but they are very, very ill for a few days after having the vaccine. If you're weak
Well,
enough, that could be. Yeah.
there's been some studies and very kind of articles here from reputable sources that talk about, you know, the adverse, you know, the adverse consequences of rushing the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. And they talk about the original SARS vaccine and the fact that, you know, there were adverse health conditions for people who took the original rushed vaccine. It was a bit of a scandal at the time.
Yeah.
And it actually kind of killed a lot of the efforts to make it out as this global pandemic we all need to be vaccinated for, because there was vaccine deaths, and that really kind of killed the story. I remember the news cycle. I was alive during all of this. Just like people, like I said earlier, have talked about the global cooling. It really was a massive, massive news story until it wasn't. And I think as soon as the vaccine deaths happened, it kind of disappeared.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, SARS was suddenly, oh, we've beaten it by what did they say? They basically got it through locking down areas and stopping people from traveling from areas where the virus broke out. So who'd have thought travel bans from areas where the virus broke out and stopping people from traveling actually stopped it from spreading? You know, that thing that Donald Trump tried to do February last year when everyone called him a racist for it, and then told people to go and enjoy their local Chinese market and festivals for the Chinese New Year. Cough, cough. Literally. But yeah, no, it originated in China. Shall we just point out how many of these things? Swine flu, bird flu, SARS, COVID, they all have one common factor in that they seem to originate from China a lot. In fact, I think China over the last 100 years has given us almost all of the nasty epidemics, pandemics, nasty flus, etc. Yeah, here we go. SARS transmission was stopped by quarantines and international cooperation. In other words, they stopped people from traveling from China and Hong Kong and other places.
Yeah, they did what they should have. Well, they did what they should have done early on in this, which is lock down China, turn China into a fucking biological hazard, and tell them they can't come out and play unless they fix their shit.
Yep, and There is one other place where big pandemics come from, or pandemics, nasty outbreaks of nasty things that people get worried about, and that's Africa. China and Africa. China is about 80% of them. Africa, has Ebola, which scares the living bejesus out of anybody that knows anything about hemorrhagic.
Ah, you're being. Ebola Chan's pretty cute. Remember Ebola Chan?
Ebola, yeah. Do you know what that is? It's massive hemorrhaging of all your internal organs, and until you just basically turn into liquid in a bag, in a skin bag. It's ugly, and then they make films like Outbreak, where we learn that the only way to deal with it is dropping Moabs onto small American towns, which seems
Well,
slightly excessive.
I don't know. You could
Mind
drop
you,
some bulbs in Africa.
what was it? What was it? The British Health Minister the other day was apparently had been watching. Wasn't Outbreak. It was another one. It was the one that they did recently with Gwyneth Paltrow. And
Contagion,
Contagion,
is
that
it?
was it, which is literally very, very similar to the story that they were telling us was the cause of the outbreak. Oh, it's a bat that mixed up with a pig in a wet market in China, and it's like literally the story from Contagion. And yes, he's using Contagion
Bat
as
pig, sorry.
yeah, he was using Contagion as his model for what they should be doing in the future. It's like, oh, I'm glad politicians are using movies to educate themselves into policy. Okay, Walking Dead. Shoot them in the head. That's my policy. And
Bat bear pig.
bat bear pig.
Thank you, chat. Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you to Rizzle28 in the chat there. That's Bat
That
Bear. Bat Bear Kit Pig has got me chuckling. It really
that's
has.
super seriously good.
Super
Super
ethereal, guys. It's very
ethereal.
ethereal. Oh dear. Don't know, do we have a lot more on SARS?
Not really, other than it comes from China. It's back again at the moment. You've got still the same 99./98.9% chance of being fine from it. But when you do get it and it's bad, it is quite nasty. But most
Yeah,
people think they've got a cold and then shrug it off and carry on. Not worth shutting down an economy for, maybe? I don't know. I'm no
like I
politician. I
said,
don't
the
know.
statistically, both SARS and swine flu were more deadly than COVID-19 is.
Yeah.
They also had much worse adverse effects on young people. We've actually been very quite lucky with the fact that the chades, as some people call it, isn't really affecting children.
Yes.
And when it is, it's basically just a very mild sniffle. So we actually lucked out with this one. I just wish the governments had realized that instead of making everyone go home and stay there like naughty children in the corner. I guess I could do a bit of shilling. I put out a very long post on Minds today about the subject. I'm actually trialing doing Minds for longer form content. I'm hoping to find somewhere to put my articles in future, but short form notes and maybe first drafts I will post on Minds and get people's opinions on. Obviously, spelling mistakes and all that will be in there because these are like just drafts of things I'm hoping to write at some point. But yeah, keep an eye on Minds, and I've had some very positive reaction from what I've put out so far about kind of the effects of big tech and their self-interest with the lockdown. I put one out today about the spirit of the Blitz and how that's been kind of corrupted and co-opted by the UK government during all of this. I'll put it in chat actually, since I can chill here. Obviously, there's links down below in the description to both mine and Trigg's Minds pages. I'm very much pushing Minds at the moment because I think it's a very good community. I'm sure you could concur with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, it's rapidly becoming my favorite social media. And you know what? We ought to get in touch with Bill Ottman and get him to start paying us for the shilling we're doing for his platform. But
Well,
no.
I have Plus and people keep giving me tokens, so technically if I do put those on chain, I could get Ethereum for them. So
Oh, bloody hell.
technically he might be.
Ethereum is worth a fortune these days as well. Yeah, no. But no,
I need to
it's
look into what that conversion rate is, because I've got like 70 Minds tokens right now, which is
yeah.
enough to buy like 2 years of Minds Plus. So
Damn.
I'll see if it's worth actually cashing out, or if I just want to keep it in the platform to boost my posts and get more Plus content. But
But yeah, no, mine's is it's the only it's Twitter I go on to, I'm angry within 15 minutes. Facebook,
I'm
I am
angry.
frustrated
Angry
and
about
angry.
Twitter.
Minds, I go on there, and I usually find something, mildly chill and some artwork to look at, and I don't know. Maybe I've just curated my my feed on Minds a little better, but yeah, no, I enjoy it.
Put your Minds page up there quickly if you can. Just I don't know. The interface is quite clean. I think the site looks pretty good. But yeah, it's minds.com/trigger. I think it's trigger underscore hippie, isn't it, for you?
Yep. Yep,
And
that
it's
would
just
be me.
minds.com/scruntmonkey for me. But yeah, don't worry, guys. The shilling will stop in a second. We've got one more thing to cover here, which is we're actually going to talk about net neutrality, which I think is one of the funnier ones of these because of how bad the sky is falling rhetoric was during all of that. I also
Yeah,
have a
that's Minds.
little. Actually, I did put a little cover image on that, didn't I? Yeah,
The net neutrality,
I
you know what,
forgot I made that.
we can. My God, that's. Look at that, that's cute. Right, there we
Government,
go.
please help.
You know what, you're gonna laugh at this one, but I kind of fell for the net neutrality nonsense a little bit at first. Because it was easy to sort of fall into the hype and it sounded like a good idea at the time, but then you started looking into it and go, oh, okay. People don't know what they're talking about. And I bought into it. I will stick my head. I wasn't loud about it, but I kind of thought, oh no, we're going to end up with very heavily curated nonsense, and my ISP is going to only allow me to look at sites that they want, etc.,
That was the
etc.
rhetoric.
That was the rhetoric.
I know. Do you want to go into the rhetoric quickly? Because there was a lot of it around at the time, and there was a lot of it that really did spell doom and gloom for people's internet.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, we were told that net neutrality meant that the little guy's website will get just as much assurance of getting internet traffic and bandwidth to your home home service as the big guys, the Netflix, the Amazons, and these guys, so that this is for your protection, so that the ISPs can't get up to their dirty tricks with Jeff Bezos and Netflix and make sure it's only their sites that you can get. Not mentioning at all that Google pretty much does that by curating their search, histories and search your general everything you look for that way anyway. The net neutrality has got nothing to do with that. That's the bigger problem. Net neutrality just, well, it was nothing. It was ab it just nothing at all. And
Well,
I defer to you. You know much more about this than I do.
this was back in 2017. If you look
Yes.
in the links there, I posted one from Senate Democrats, which is funny,
Oh no.
talking about that if we don't save net neutrality, you'll get the internet one word at a time, which, hasn't happened.
That's kind of special.
It's very special. Again, it's the
Why is that
fear-mongering, though. It's
available
the
to
extreme.
me?
It's the extreme fear-mongering from, again, it became a partisan left issue, though, and they managed to really, really scare people about it. They managed to really, really inject that fear into people and make them think that if they didn't save this guiding principle, which, by the way, net neutrality, quote unquote, was only on the books as a principle since 2015. It's not something that has existed for as long as the internet has. The internet was just fine before 2015. And just fine after 2017. It was only really a principle within the US internet for a year. That was it. It was a year and then it was nothing. Sorry, it was sorry, 2 years, and then it was really didn't really exist outside of that. So we've not had quote unquote net neutrality, and I'll explain what I mean when I poo-poo it as a solid set of rules, because it isn't a solid set of rules. I'll explain what it is really in a minute. Because there's a lot still of misunderstanding about what net neutrality actually is and isn't. So, like, at the time when you bought into this, what was your understanding of net neutrality, Shrek?
My fear was that, which was part of the nonsense and noise that was going out there, that your ISP would have its own favored list of sites and internet companies that it would prioritize bandwidth to, and your small little weird site that you might want to go onto, but your ISP doesn't care for you going onto, I don't know, anime.net or whatever it is you're watching, and as a result you're going to get terrible, terrible bandwidth, no matter how much you pay for your internet, and whatever how big your internet connection is going to be, you're always going to be able to get Netflix fine, but your anime or whatever it is you're watching will come through at an absolute trickle of a pace, and it'll be an awful, awful experience, and the internet will be curated, and it's the end of end of the internet as we know it. Which, as I said,
Well,
Google is far more responsible for that nonsense than anybody else.
that was how it was sold to people, but it really was mind-blowing, like I said, that it didn't exist as a concept in law until 2015. And here in the UK, it's never really existed as a concept of law. I remember BT at the time was saying that their phone and TV services, like, they rely on earmarking a large part of the traffic for those services so they'll still be stable. It also would be really bad for consumers. It would also just mean that consumers wouldn't want your internet connection. There'd be even more backlash against the American ISPs. But the other aspect of it too, which is something I've tried to explain to people, and many people still don't really know, it was really a slight movement of authority from being completely under the FCC's remit into going slightly under the FTC as well. A lot of people poo-pooed that. They said the FTC had never taken any action. But the argument was, there's a link that I put in there from the Federal Trade Commission's own website, saying that they hope that this move will allow them to actually regulate competition. Because as you know, a lot of areas in the US only have one ISP choice. And that's partially the result of the common carrier rules. What net neutrality really means, it's twofold. It is an idea. The idea of net neutrality is you treat all traffic equally. That isn't law, that's an idea. It's not a concept, it's not a solid set of rules, it's just an idea. And the second part, which was enshrined in law, which is more solid, is the fact that internet ISPs in the US, in many areas, are classed as utilities. And because they're classed as utilities, you can't fine them for not competing with each other. Because they're seen as vital and they're seen as something that is a person's right. So therefore, it's difficult to cut people off from utilities. But it also means that, because they're seen as in a lot of hard areas to get to and they're seen as these common carriers, you don't have to force them to compete like other industries do. And that really was driving down the level of competition between ISPs. The argument really for getting rid of the loose collection of legislation and ideas that became known as net neutrality was to increase free market competition between the ISPs. It was not really an earmark, as some people put it, to, completely destroy the internet and prioritize a whole bunch of services. Do you remember the whole Internet Day of Action thing?
Oh, vaguely, vaguely. I wasn't anything to do with it. It looked like idiocy to me at the time. 'Cause this is back, what, 3, 4 years ago now? Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've already got a link to the.
Actually, before we go into that, I've got a link there. But we have a couple more donations that have come in that I forgot to read before we transition between subjects. I've got $5 here from X1 saying, headline, Boy Racer Trig run commits a hate crime in his Mondeo ST200.
Ha.
Has he been watching? I don't know. That's a bit of a specific reference. Maybe it's just a reference to the ST200 being a famous kind of modders car right now. But we've actually been talking about the ST200 in your server, haven't we? That's kind of spooky. Get out of our brains! We've also got $40 here. Christ. Oh, it's from Skull. Thank you, Skullhammer, for the
Skull.
$40. Yeah, thanks,
Thank you,
Skull. He's
dude.
a good boy. He's a good
He is.
friend. He's saying, good show, boys. Go easy on my boy, Al. He is just doing the best he can for this world. Think of the salamanders.
Oh. Oh, that's an inside joke. We will not cover
Yeah, we're not
that
covering the salamanders because that's horrifying, and you guys don't need to
any
hear about rampant animal abuse. But good lord. But yeah, there was all this propaganda put out by news networks and large companies about net neutrality, and that was the honestly, I didn't really have an opinion on it. I didn't really have researched this until I saw this whole day of action thing and thought, well, this rings alarm bells. Why is Amazon, AT&T, basically a lot of the IS, some of the ISPs actually got involved in this, which made me wonder. It's like, okay, so why do the if this would apparently benefit the ISPs and the giant media companies, why did they want it to stay in place? And it's because of this common carrier protection. It's
Yeah.
because it benefits them. So you ended up with was Amazon, YouTube, like basically all the big platforms. I'll just read them off fucking quickly here. You got Amazon, the ACLU, the another American Liberty Association, AT&T, BitTorrent Incorporated, Center for Media Justice, Crack.com, Demand Progress, which I think is a partisan. Again, a lot of this, it's a mix of big tech and partisan leftist organizations, which should ring alarm bells immediately. DeviantArt, LOL, Discord, Dreamhost, Etsy, Facebook, GitHub, Google, Greenpeace, Kickstarter, Kink.com, LOL, MoveOn.org, Mozilla Foundation, Netflix, Nextdoor, Organizing for Action, again, a left-wing political organization, Pantheon, Patreon, Plug.DJ, Pornhub, LOL. We know how good those guys are with all the fucking child porn on their platform. Well, like, I guess left-wing activists being in bed with pedophiles is nothing new. Same with big tech. Reddit, RedTube, LOL, Spotify, Stack Exchange, Tumblr, Twitter, Vimeo, X-Hamster, LOL again, Y Combinator, and I don't know what the fuck Zombo is, but it was a lot of big websites, though. There was basically a website blackout to try and get people to put pressure on the FCC to keep, this loose concept of net neutrality. It was a very, very big deal, and you guys will remember that a lot of people were saying that the sky is falling, this is the end of the internet. You guys remember this. You guys were there. Actually, here's some more audience participation. When this was going on, did you guys buy into the whole net neutrality thing? Be honest now, I know a few of you guys will have done. I know a lot of people that I talk to still. I've re-gone over some of their old tweets and laughed at them for the fact that they really, really bought in on this one. They really thought the sky was falling with the FCC ruling back a 2015 Obama administration decision. It's amazing that everything the Obama administration does seems to be a sacred cow, and that, apparently the world started in 2008, or it's the internet, the world started in 2015. It reminds me of like the whole, that destroying trans rules for stuff that was never put into place, and only was, I think it was only ruled on in like 2016. Some of the rules that they talk about when it's like, Trump getting rid of Obama administration protections from, his last day in term, basically. I don't know. It's been a common theme. Yeah, I'm getting.
I was going to say, I mean, I bought into this, but as being someone over the pond from America, it was a case of, well, it doesn't really make an awful lot of difference to me anyway, because we don't have it here, and it doesn't seem to have been a nightmare. But yeah, as I said, I kind of bought into it. It
Yeah,
was.
I'm getting a few here. Gonom says, yeah. Charlie Chieftain says, somewhat skeptical. HK9410, again, thanks for the donation. I hate to admit it, but yes. Yeah, never did. I bought into it a little bit, but not for super long. I started it after the first couple of weeks. It was rolled back. I kind of woke up to it. But yeah, all of this happened. There was all this great mourning. A wailing and gnashing of teeth to be biblical about it. But yeah, Razor Fist actually did a good video. He can
Yes,
be
he
a
did.
bit all over the map on certain topics, but he did do a good video debunking the whole net neutrality thing.
Razor Fist does a good rant. I always appreciate someone that can have a really good rant about stuff. And
He's a good ranter. I like his rants.
he is also someone that also likes that enjoys the occasional game of MechWarrior, which is a something that I'm almost slightly ashamed of, but it's a good game. It used to be a good game, it used to be a much better game than it is these days, but yeah. That's kind of how I found Razor Fist in the first place, as he was talking about MechWarrior Online. Way back when. Way back when I was beta testing that game.
Well, they can be a bit boomerish. I'll relink it here, but there's a good National Review article here, which actually links to some of the funny tweets. Oh, we've not gone over some of the juicier stuff yet. There's some hilarious Twitter stuff about this. But yeah, well, first of all, we'll read a little bit of this National Review article here because that links to some of it.
I have that. Yes.
It's called "We Survived the Net Neutrality Apocalypse," which we did. Like, nothing fucking happened. No one can point to anything that has changed because of this the decision. Like, nothing materially on the internet has altered one iota. And if you just go back and look at the rhetoric, it is embarrassing what was said about this. It's the inconvenient truth of ISPs, I guess. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's on that sort of scale.
Anyway, where was I? Yeah. It's
There it is.
1 year ago this month, opponents of the FCC's decision to loosen Title II regulations told us the internet as we know it would end. It didn't. And by the way, Title II protection is the common carrier protection that they're talking about. That's what it's referred to as. In June 2018, was to be a date that will live in infamy when the FCC repealed the Obama-era net neutrality rules, with a decision that met with widespread criticism throughout the country. Fire, brimstone, throttle internet speeds, the silencing of minority voices. Even I click on that link there, that's one of them I'm talking about. Attacks on the LGB community and the end of the internet as we know it were all imminent, according to the libs. But the that Twitter post. We were laughing at this one earlier, but the that Twitter post
Oh,
about.
the internet is a lifeline for LGBTQ people who build support, community support networks, and access LGBTQ resources on history, suicide prevention, and health. Allowing broadband providers to regulate access is a direct and in oh God, inconstitutable,
Unconscious.
inconscionable. Thank you. I was having a dyslexic moment there for a second. Attack on the freedom of expression.
And
Wee
the previous post says stripping away net neutrality is the latest attempt by the Trump administration to silence voices of already marginalized communities and render us invisible. So what they're saying is all gay people were invisible on the internet before 2015.
I wish.
It's another instance of world-ending fags most affected. It's like women most affected, but it's pick your protected group. It also links to a tweet from GLAAD. I think that's the gay, lesbian, and something. So I can't remember what fucking GLAAD stands for. It's an LGBTQ what's of barbecue plus organization anyway. And they say that the repeal of net neutrality is an attack on the LGBT community. Like, this is how bad the rhetoric got. This is the heights of fire and
Insanity.
brimstone they got to. That
Utter insanity.
because the FCC wants to twiddle a little bit with the definition of Title II and ISPs, that this is somehow going to end the LGBT community. I think the ridiculousness got to its height when we talk about the mug. Because, oh boy, did people get mad about the mug. That's the image I've been using for all of this. There was quite a famous instance. Like, the FCC chairman came out and ruled on this with a giant Reese's mug, which I thought was kind of funny. But, like,
What's wrong with Reese's? Yeah.
nothing. Apparently they were offended that he would use a Reese's mug. He would besmirch Reese's in this way.
Oh God.
He had a sense of humor about it, though. That's the thing. Like, what was the guy's name again? Oh, I keep forgetting it. The net neutrality, the head of the FCC.
Ajit Pai? Are we
Yeah,
talking
Ajit
about?
Pai, that's
Yeah.
it. Yeah, that Ajit Pai seemed like a decent guy who had a decent sense of humor. And they like tried to murder him. They threatened his family. Like, it was full leftist hate mob.
Hold on, they're calling that a ridiculous novelty-sized mug. I will have you know, I have two mugs that are at least as big as that, if not bigger, for hot chocolate and the like. That is not novelty size, that is just a decent, normal, large-sized mug. Anyway, enough of my ranting about mug size. ooh, we've had more donations. But yes, carry on, because this is
Well,
just.
we'll go through the last of the donations at the end because we're getting towards the end of our stream now.
Yeah, we've been going on for an hour and a half.
We have. Yeah, it's,
So, yes.
they really fixated on this whole mug issue though. If you scroll down the article, there's a whole bunch of people just reeing about it, talking about how it ruined Reese's for them.
Ajit Pai may have completely ruined Reese's for me with so many great local chocolate peanut butter options. Why am I buying big chocolate anyway? What?
Big chocolate.
Big chocolates?
It's all a conspiracy for big chocolate, guys. Are you gonna go into Greenwich Village and get your small $20 artisanal peanut butter cups? That is like one of the twatty. It's like the implications there. It's like there's a rabbit hole of twattiness behind that image.
There's, oh, yeah, of course, well, there's a rabbit hole of twattiness behind the post.
No, yeah, that's what I mean, sorry. Yeah, it's an image of a post, that's what I mean.
yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
They were demanding that the Reese's company do something about Ajit Pai and his giant Reese's mug.
No, they are
That's
big.
how upset and obsessed people got.
Well, Reese's are big chocolate after all. They've got that huge lobby and mafia power, I guess.
Yeah. Fight. Take to fight to Big Choc. Oh, Big Chuck. Well, this is how emotionally invested people got in the net neutrality issue. They got so emotionally invested in what amounted to a slight tweaking of balance of power between the FCC and FTC through the redefinition of Title II. Like, it's a very technical thing that happened, but the media and the social media companies and big tech turned it and distilled it into this: the evil Republicans are trying to kill the internet, and you'll never be able to load any website ever again, if this happens. They blew a very technical change to the way that ISPs are defined into this apocalyptic world-ending event in which people get emotionally obsessed and upset about a man drinking from a mug. That's where we ended up, and that is your brain on mainstream media and leftist politics, I guess. Like that is what happens when you listen to the establishment. You just end up in this worked up state of absolute fear where reality doesn't really have any bearing on what your thought process is, because you're just, it's consume headline and move on to next headline. That's how a lot of these people live.
Well, yeah. Speaking of big chocolate, there is something that's happened today that I saw that was hilarious. Did you know that Cadbury's, who moved all of their facilities over to Germany, are now coming and bringing all of their facilities back to the town of Bourneville in England, because they're fed up of the EU dictating to them that their bars should be chocolate flavored snack bars rather than chocolate bars, because
Yeah, they're
nonsense.
trying to have minimum cocoa content for chocolate, don't they? Want it to be at least like 50% or something, isn't it like that? Or 40,
Oh, it's
or...
something like that. I can't remember the exact details, but long and short of it is, Germany and the EU gave Cadbury's loads of money to go and move over to Germany, and now that Brexit's happened, they have come all the way back to England and are investing £15 million into a very, very small town in England and bringing huge amounts of jobs back. Anyway, that's totally off the subject, but I can't help pointing out wins for Brexit when I see them. And big chocolate seemed like a big fat
Oh
segue.
yeah, Bilbo Balboa there is pointing out my slight speech impediment today. I burned the roof of my mouth earlier on some hot mincemeat beef stew that I made. So I'm talking with a slight lisp today because the roof of my mouth is very numb. Apologies if I sound a bit weird. It's not that
You
pronounced,
know,
I
I
think,
hadn't
but I think it's
noticed,
coming
but
out from time to time.
okay, I hadn't noticed that.
It's only a slight thing. But yeah, net neutrality, I think, is one of the more recent examples because so much panic was made about it, but so little happened. It's the gulf between hysteria and action was like so wide, and the consequences were supposed to be immediate, but nothing happened. Like, it was supposed to, it's been 3 years now since the decision. It's been, more than 2 years since the decision came into effect, and nothing's happened. But people seem to have forgotten it. It's made its way out of the news cycle up until recently, though. Because to segue into actual current events, do you want to go into this one, Trig? Since you're the one who actually made me aware of this. I wasn't actually aware of this one because I haven't been following the news.
Which one was this one? Which one was this one?
The fact that the Biden administration is trying to reintroduce the net neutrality rules.
Biden is wants to now bring the net neutrality rules back in. And here we are. MSN just come in. This saw this just the other day. That the under Biden, the Democrats were ready to revive the net neutrality rules because we know the world was ending, and the world has been in flames because of net neutrality of rules being just so they're bringing it back. So it's more. I mean, Biden has been ruling by decree ever since he won the election.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Quote unquote one.
Explain that vertical line
Well,
to me, guys.
being very solid on that. He did lose the Middle Earth election in Minecraft. By the way, all of our comments on the US election take place in Minecraft. We've established that as law. Videos have not been taken down yet, so we're sticking with it.
Yeah,
There's
absolutely.
legal precedent there.
But yeah, no, they are. They want to bring this back because, there's nothing like creating more busy work for everyone that doesn't seem to make any difference whatsoever on anything, except for maybe, well, making more paperwork. You've got to give the Democrats. They've got to give the pencil pushers some more pen, more paper to push around and more legislation. They just love their legislation, don't they?
Well, they're going to pretend it's another pretend win. They're going to pretend that they've saved the internet somehow. And I've seen a lot of articles gearing up for this. There was, I'm not going to link it because it's a shit article, but there was one I read on I think it was Vox or one of these places or Vice or one of these new media outlets that said that, even though net neutrality hasn't done any damage yet, it's going to, guys. We've not felt the effects yet, but it's coming. It's coming. The sky's going to fall, guys. It's like that guy who. Well, see, it's like that guy who predicted the end of the world all those times, and a bunch of people sold all their possessions and waited around for it, never happened.
Oh
But then he
God, what was
kept
his
people.
name? That was
Yeah.
1999, wasn't it? Everything's going to come to an end.
Yeah.
It's the end of the world. And then it's like, oh no, I got it wrong. It's actually in 5 years' time, and he's done it about
Yeah.
three or four times now.
The effects, yeah, what they're saying is the effects haven't been felt yet, but don't you worry, the world will end because of net neutrality, we told you, and Biden's preventing it from ending. He's us. He's it's gonna be so depressing. It's gonna be so depressing because when it does get passed into law again, they're gonna talk about how Biden saved the internet
Do you want?
when, nothing fucking happened.
Do you want? We can use this as actually as a good seg, well, sort of a segue to talk about something that actually was a really, really, really dangerous thing that happened 20 years ago now, that
Ah,
could have
yes.
been really bad, but actually nothing ever happened of it because action was taken and people did save the day, which is something that people might remember of was the year 2K bug, which
Y2K.
is.
Well, we don't need too many links for this because you can talk about it from experience because you were doing computer security and kind of hardware stuff at this time yourself.
I was in 99. Good God, I was making some money back then. It was crazy. We were sending out experts out to sort out people's computers, and because the year 2K bug was coming, because we were running on operating systems and hardware systems that were basically had decided that the date would just be just the last two digits. There was no need for the 19 because, it was 19 standard and, 89, 99, 97, 98. But come 99, it was going to roll over and we were all going to be back in 1901 again, or
Well,
1900, essentially.
the reason for that was, I think it was because a lot of early, like 50s and 60s computers, they only wanted a 2-bit address for the date. So they only wanted literally 2 digits. So they, I don't think it was 2-bit, but I think it was the equivalent of, though. They realized it would save them bits if they had the date in 2 digits rather than 4 digits. And that's how strapped up for bits computers were in the early
You
days.
have to bear in mind, even in the early 90s, even say 92, was when I got my first 386 was 90, 94. And in those days, 20 megabyte hard drives were considered a big hard drive. That's not gig, that's 20 megabyte. We have RAM that is orders of magnitude more than people used to have in hard drive
There's that
space.
great clip of that woman freaking out about 300 megabytes.
Yeah, and
300 megabytes.
I've seen it back in the 80s, there were hard drives being wheeled into companies on dollies, yeah, and it took two or three people to wheel this gigantic block of electronics in, and that would be like 5 megabyte hard drive. So it seems like ancient history, but really it's only
Oh
30 odd
man.
years ago
If
that.
you want to get really niche, we could get into some early computer stuff on a stream at some point. Because there's some
Oh, that's.
hilarious 50s technology made by like the Rand Corporation. Like their giant rotating magnetic cylinders that were so big and heavy that the gyroscopic forces in them, when they put them in a military truck, tipped the truck over when it tried to corner because of the gyroscope forces.
Oh God, I remember that. Yeah, they were big, heavy spinning weights. They were, it was really heavy duty stuff then. And you know what? I know I you've seen me do this and go off on this rant before, and I apologize it, but the ultimate aesthetic was created. The ultimate PC aesthetic was created back in the 80s, and it is the Commodore PET.
I'm gonna talk about the fucking Commodore PET. Are you talking about the Commodore PET again? Guys, he's talking about the Commodore PET again. You looked into just how much like non-functional cases were, but it's very much in fashion to do retro builds right now.
The one I looked at earlier was £320, a non-functional case for a Commodore PET.
That's rough. But
£320 for a Commodore PET non-functioning case. And just for the guys, here we go. This is a Commodore PET. If you haven't seen one before, I'll just. These were the ultimate, as far as I'm concerned. This is the where computers should have ended almost, as far as aesthetics concerned. You see that? You see how gorgeous that is.
It's very 80s sci-fi computer. I think it's what they thought the computers of the future would look like.
They should look like that. I want one. I was going to get an old dysfunctional one and build a decent computer inside it. And then just have it as a boot up screen that would just be in green text, and then have the everything else on the actual screen, obviously.
But we're getting slightly off track
I
here,
am.
but
I'm prone to.
he's old man rambling. He's telling his stories about the onion on his belt, as was the style at the
Was
time.
the style, okay? Don't judge me. Fashions
We had a
change.
Commodore PET, as was the style at the time. But yeah, the Y2K bug was really something that did need solving because of all these old mainframe computers. But it wasn't like a lot of there was a lot of overblownness. There's Like you were saying, there's the reality of the Y2K bug, and then there's the media perception, the public perception of the Y2K bug.
Well,
One
yeah.
was very real, one wasn't.
Yes. I mean, there was the, oh my God, planes are going to fall out of the sky, and your computers are going to explode, and smoke is going to come out of your kettle, and generally your house will
It's
burn
the
down
Y2K.
if you don't get your Y2K bug. And you just get people coming in and going, oh, my home computer that I bought last year, I know it's, but I've been told I need to get it Y2K compliance tested. It's like your computer's was built in 98. It's fine, and but
A lot.
you're not doing anything interesting on it anyway. It'll
A
run
big.
Doom
I
just
remember
fine.
that. I remember that because our school, like, someone came in, he must have made a fortune, and he put these fucking Y2K compliance stickers on all our computers. When all our computers were like 1999 to two, you know, they were like 1999 compacts. We just had the whole thing redone. They were all compacts. You know, this was in the era where they could run Flash. Like, they all could run Flash. They all were up to date. They all had, you know, Windows 98 or ME or, you know, they all had very modern operating systems. These weren't computers in danger of the Y2K, the Millennium Bug. And
We
a lot
would
of people made
charge
a lot
out.
of money.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
we would charge out an engineer who was he was MCSE and various other accreditations to his name. So not messing about. But we would charge that guy out at £400 an hour
Ooh.
to go around and stick stickers on computers he knew he didn't even need to test. And yeah, there was good money to be made in 99 with Y2K bug. Yes, there were some banking organizations that would have had all manner of problems with billing dates and various other stuff, and you certainly didn't want, you know, your
Well,
military whopper computers, etc., going completely spazzing and freaking out because the dates had gone wrong. Certainly stuff really needed sorting, but
we're actually in more danger from those aging systems now than ever.
yes.
People don't realize, but the systems that would have caused the Y2K crashes in certain sectors of banking are still running. Anyone who's dealt with interbank systems knows that they still rely partially on COBOL. They rely on COBOL mainframes. And no, the thing is, COBOL is so ancient, they're running out of people who know how to code and maintain COBOL machines. If you know how to do COBOL, by the way, you can make a like 6 to 7 figure salary in a banking organization a year just by sitting and doing nothing,
Yeah.
because they have to have on hand someone who can do COBOL in case the COBOL mainframe that runs their stuff from the 50s and 60s that they've still had to carry over because of legacy systems, they're not allowed downtime. But in case that breaks down.
Yeah, they will
Oh,
literally
goodness
pay you
me.
to sit in a room and not touch anything as well. You'll be there as essentially compliance. And it makes me want to go dust off my old COBOL books and get back into it.
I've not got confirmation, but I've heard stories about people who pretend to know COBOL. And if you're of a certain age and you look a certain way and you have a certain career profile, I've heard people talk about the fact that they have these COBOL experts who are just older IT guys and they have no idea how to do COBOL, but they'll never actually be asked to do it because no one wants to touch these machines anyway.
They
But yeah,
run,
that's
they work,
yeah.
and yeah, so I you know what, I could grow out my beard and put glasses on. Be fine. It'll be great.
COBOL, COBOL, man. But we got a couple more donations here. We've got another one here from HK9410 saying for $5, saying so they admit everyone's a faggot on the internet then. Oh, that's about the net neutrality
Pretty much.
geese most affected. A donation here from S. Smith saying Trig, what's that? I would have expected Acorn or Sinclair from you, not Commodore. Also check the AN slash FSQ7 3 megawatt joule price sensor vacuum tube power. What? Oh right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, big vacuum tube powered. It's like like sort of war games. If anyone's seen the original war games, incidentally, original war games, based as hell. Don't let them edit it. That film has so much actual hacking in it, it's untrue. It's a great film. Love war games.
Oh yeah,
But
War Games is great. Yeah, make sure you get because they did edit it, didn't they? There's the TV version which gets rid of all that shit.
they edit out all of the hacks that he's actually doing, which are real hacks. It's exactly how they used to do it. Not that, you know, but yeah, there's a great bit where he
Hacker Man.
defeats a door, electronic door system, with basically a piece of chewing gum and a 50p piece, which would work.
Yeah, there's a lot of physical pen testing I've seen that's got that kind of shit in it.
Oh, hairspray defeating fire door systems.
Oh, there's great. I remember there's one guy. I've seen some great pen testing stuff at DEF CON. If you want to look at DEF CON videos about security testing, there's one guy. He's a bit liquored up on a night out, and what he does is He drinks a bit of his whiskey on his he's nicked the glass in his way, and he puts a bit of his whiskey in his mouth and aerosolizes it, spits it into a bank door, into the bank lock, opens the door, waves at the cashiers and walks out.
Yep. They have they have fire sensors on the doors that have to unlock to let everyone out. And defeats it by doing that. I've seen that
building,
video. I've seen that. Yes, there are many, many, many penetrations.
There's also a very good talk about elevator security. You wouldn't think about it, but elevator security. There's a DEFCON talk about elevator security, which is one of the most interesting presentations I've ever seen. Because it goes into a lot of this physical pen testing stuff, and it goes into basically all the vulnerabilities in just elevator systems. And it is fascinating. I would highly recommend it. But again, we're getting a little bit off track. We are winding down.
Have we missed any super chats? Because I know we missed a bunch last time. Let's make sure we get them all this slime
I don't
in.
Think we have. I'll refresh. The thing is, last time I refreshed the page and a bunch showed up.
Yeah.
They showed up actually. There were ones in the middle. I'd read the ones before them and the ones after them. But for some reason, those hadn't shown up. Yes, I have missed a donation here. It did the same thing again. Sorry, I've missed a donation here from... Namuzet for $10, saying, I heavily bought into net neutrality, although at the time I was predominantly watching podcasts with a progressive bent. I can't even go back to some of these shows now. Example, Adam Savage Tested podcast. It's the Manchild show. Yeah. It's a lot of those. I fucking love science people.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jamie Heineman was always the guy who could weld and had the workshop anyway. So,
yes. They used to annoy me so much because they would always debunk things like the Tesla earthquake machine. And then they would debunk it by doing the science badly. And
they actually revisited that one. And
did they?
It better. Yeah.
Okay. Cause
they actually made a bridge vibrate pretty considerably.
I was going to say, because that system works. I mean, I'm not saying I can knock California into the ocean by accident, but the earthquake machine does work. Nikola Tesla was very, very, well, the most intelligent man I think the world has ever seen, and Einstein agrees with me.
I'm not going to read that, Fox Troika, but if you can send me some articles about that, that's interesting. I haven't heard about that before.
What's this?
It makes sense, but I don't want to say any unproven accusations on air without actually researching them myself. So no, we haven't missed any, but yeah, guys, the donation links, it's the pinned message in chat, it's the first thing in the description, so if you guys want anything about it on stream, we're winding down now, we've got a little bit to go in the show, so if you guys want to round it out by that, you've still got time. We will read them all. I will make sure. Do we have anything we need to shill here, Trigger? We've already shilled mines.
I shilled mines. Just yes. I don't know. We can always sort of make sure that people remember to watch Rose's show on Wednesdays.
Oh, of course, yes. That's like in the description as well.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a playlist in the description for Seal of Approval, the show I co-host with Rose of Dawn. People keep asking me, Dev is coming back. He's just been really, really busy. He's had some hardware failures. He's had some people steal shit from his porch. He's currently wrangling with Newegg because, he needs to file a police report to get a refund. He's had a really bad string of bad luck, but yes, the content is coming back. Yes, we do still have three dumps recorded that haven't come out yet. And Dumping with Scrump is still ongoing. Me and Dev haven't fallen out. Dev is remonetized, and he will be starting back up his channel pretty soon. He's just had a whole bunch of real-life shit that's really, really got in the way. And it's understandable. He's had a whole bunch of tech failures. He's had a whole bunch of stuff he's, rightly had to refund. And he's had a whole bunch of shit stolen. So don't despair on that front. There will be more Dump with Scrump content. There will be more Dev content in general. I wish he'd communicate that himself better, because I seem to be dealing with his community a bit more than I should be. I guess with Dump with Scrump, I don't want to be as precocious as to say our community. I feel like the wife trying to take the house there, but that's kind of the way it is.
Your name is right there in the title, though. But yes,
my name is in. You see, I think we were smart with this. It's Starman and the Boomer.
Yeah.
I mean, my name is first, but But that's just because it flows better, honestly. The Boomer and Starman sounds a bit weird.
It sounds like a 80s buddy-buddy cop show, actually.
Yeah.
Or comedy or something. Yes. Actually, you know what? I can show something. I can show something because think maybe this Sunday, maybe soon. It's been long overdue. I should be doing a new a D&D thing with Oozaloo and some other people. That should be out on Sunday, maybe. Touch wood, it keeps on getting delayed because certain people haven't finished doing their characters yet. But the artwork that has already been produced from it is just un-freaking believable. You've seen some of it. Seen my character. We've got this art guy that's been doing the artwork for this, and frankly, the guy should be working for a major production studio. He's so good. I am blown away by the art that's coming out for that. So hopefully that should be coming out on Sunday, maybe, I think. But that should be fun. And that should be on Oozaloo's channel, I think. But that's me. That's my shilling done, I guess.
There's also a link to my Discord in the description. I keep forgetting. I don't tend to chat in voice in there very much, but I do reply in the chat. I noticed you joined the disaster beta, and it's good to see you. It's good to talk to you again. It's been fucking years. He's a friendly Irishman. It's kind of cozy. My Discord is pretty. It's drama free by design. So there's autism in there definitely. It is called Scrumptism, but it isn't like a fully dramatic. Shitty Discord server like some people's can be. It's kind of chill in there, so feel free to join that as well. But unless there's anything else, I think that's probably the end of our stream there, Trig, unless there's anything else you can think of.
No, in fact, you know what? People are asking who this is. His name's Roger. He's a guy on Oozaloo's server, but I will give you a quick preview of my new character, because I'm in absolute awe of the work that this guy's done. I mean, I occasionally dabble with a pencil here and there, and maybe scribble something, but when they bring up, well, he's done this. Is this coming up? Can you see this one? Is that on the screen?
There's a slight delay, so we'll know in a second.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Oh, that looks, you've shown me that. That looks great.
This is not going to be my character. It's the guy has done.
Zoom in on that a little bit, so it does fill the screen a bit more.
Wild. There we go. Sort of tier. You know, this is really, really, really. Yep. Yes, I am playing a pistolero. Much pew, Daka, and kaboom. A gun Geralt, yes. I am gun Geralt.
Basically gun Geralt, yeah.
So
there will be more content with Trig
in the very near future, and yes, a very, very good artist, and we'll shill more of his work when I get to see it. But I think that's it for now. I think thank you guys for coming along. And yes, the man named Trigger uses guns. I have one right here. Did that come through loud enough? I shouldn't play around with BB guns on stream. People will think I'm lame and stupid. Right. You there? Are you there, dude? You've gone very quiet all of a sudden. Oh no. I think we've lost Scrump. Well, I'm glad it's happened towards the end of the stream this time. Because, yeah, no, Scrump, are you there, dude? Are you there? Yeah, I think we've lost the Starman this time. So, I think we're going to wrap this up at this point. Yeah, he's just dropped out of the Discord. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And hopefully, well, at least it happened at the end of the stream rather than halfway through like it did last week. But yes, I think we've had Once again, a slight technical error. It might be Scrump's internet, it might be Discord, although Discord is stable for me. So, I will catch you all next week, and I hope you've all enjoyed the show. And I will end this at this point. Yeah, that's right. He just Scrooge just left us. He just left us hanging. Good night, guys. Hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll catch you next week.